Lowe's sabe que a todos nos gusta ahorrar, especialmente en esta temporada. Por eso escogimos deals buenísimos para Early Black Friday. Obtén gratis una herramienta selecta DeWalt, Cobalt o Craftsman al comprar una batería o un kit selecto. También tenemos árboles de Navidad preiluminados selectos desde $59.98, porque nunca es muy pronto para poner el arbolito. Lowe's, nosotros ayudamos, tú ahorras. Hasta agotar existencia, selección varía por lugar.
I'm Sean.
And I'm Mike, and you're listening to
Sean and Mike Take a Hike.
Welcome to another episode of Sean and Mike Take a Hike. What are we going to talk about today, Mike?
Thought today we would talk more about hiking in the rain, wet weather, wet conditions, the things of that nature. Just kind of getting out of the element of just everything is perfect and the conditions are exactly right when you're out on the trail.
Right. Yeah. We have definitely ran into that. I mean, as much as we talk about like how much fun we enjoy going out into nature, hiking, backpacking, you know, getting away from everything, sooner or later, anybody that's doing this sort of thing, you are going to have at least a day where you are going to run into the rain, right?
I mean, yeah, whether it's just a 10-minute little sprinkle or it's a 2-hour downpour or
right.
An overnight storm.
We've said this a million times, but just to reiterate it, we do a lot of research before we go.
Yes.
One of the things that we typically research is what's the weather forecast, right?
Right.
And as good as weather forecasts are these days, I mean, let's face it, it can call for sun every single day and you can still run into rain one of the days. So,
right. Well, so, yeah. we've had 100% chance of rain and then it's sunny and nice out.
For sure. Well, so we had
not saying don't check the weather, definitely check the weather and go off of what they're saying, but it could be potentially different. Plan for some adverse weather.
I mean, we had a trip, I think it was two or three summers ago. It was the first year that we did the first half of Pictured Rocks.
Yep.
Leading up to that trip, you and I were checking the weather pretty religiously, mainly because it called for rain every single day.
Right.
And so then it was like, all right, how much do we like hiking? Right.
Yeah, do we cancel this or what? I mean, when I check it a week in advance or 2 weeks in advance and it's calling for rain, I start checking it like every other hour, it seems, right, just to see if it changed, you know? And it, if it's calling for sun, I'll check it like every other day just to make sure it doesn't change. Yeah. But when it's calling for rain, it's like a pretty constant, like wearing my battery down on my phone, like checking the weather again.
Oh, I know. Crap.
Still rain. So it's hiking in the rain can be a little more challenging, a little bit more difficult. As we were saying earlier, a little bit more miserable conditions. I always wear a hat that at least covers my, like a baseball cap that covers above my head, like above my eyes. I used to wear a bucket hat that would cover everything for the sun. I got sick of that just because the back of the bucket hat rubs against my pack and I just don't care for that. So I just wear the baseball cap now, but keeping the weather or the rain off your face is kind of a key element, especially keeping it out of your eyes. Just so you can keep visibility on the trail and where you're going, the markings.
Right. So, I mean, that's the thing. I mean, hiking in the rain, even if you think it's going to be nice every day, plan for rain. I mean, right. Oh, yeah. I mean, at least have the necessities to plan for a trip in the rain. Maybe don't take everything, but that trip that I was talking about that you and I were planning on going on, we were kind of thinking like, okay, do we want to go and be wet for 4 days?
Right.
Cause that's still what it was calling for. And then by the end, by the time we actually went up and decided to go, it was only calling for rain one day. So we're like, okay, one day we could be wet.
We can power through.
If you got 3 days of enjoying yourself and you got one day of being in the rain, like we'll power through. But let's talk about a little bit of what are the things that we did to plan for that rain when we knew that it was going to be raining the one day.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess where do you want to start? Do you want to start with before we even go, like the things that we packed?
Yeah, so that? Yeah, that's probably a good place to start, because I remember talking about when we were planning that trip, we were like, okay, it's calling for rain. This was the trip that we took the tarps. Mm-hmm. And because when we got to camp, we're like, okay, maybe we can help keep the camp a little bit more dry. We always take our paracord. So I was like, okay, we got some tarps with some eyelets or grommets, whatever you want to call them. We might be able to hang that between some trees and just help create more of a shelter.
Yep.
And we didn't.
What I remember the other thought for the tarp, too, is we had said, what if it started downpouring in the middle of the day?
Well, right.
And, yeah, like, we needed a little bit of something to get out of the rain.
Yep. We could make it as a makeshift shelter without setting up camp, you know?
So, yeah, so we took the tarp. That was a big thing. I mean, I really think that that is a good thing to do. You don't got to take a huge one.
Right.
You don't got to take a super thick one, but, like, some sort of lightweight tarp.
Yeah, we ended up taking two. I think we got 2 8x10s.
Yep.
And, I mean, that's the size of a small bedroom in a house. realistically. Well, I think
two was overkill.
Two was overkill. And after the fact, we were like, that was just a lot of added weight that we didn't really necessarily need. I might, on a shorter trip or something, I mean, I'm not saying I would never take them again. I would maybe look into lighter options.
Yeah. You don't need a heavy-duty tarp. I think the ones that we took were quite heavy-duty.
They were more of the – they weren't quite construction-grade tarps or whatever, but they weren't your chintzy little – you know, I don't know, half mil, whatever you want to call it. Like, you know, they were decent mid-grade tarps, so they added some weight. And they were in the, I mean, stupidly, I put them in the bottom of my pack because that's where I like to put the heavier things. So, I mean, they would have been a pain to get to had we needed them anyway. But, you know, you learn as you go. But, yeah, so that was the trip we took those. We both took our rain gear.
And we talked a little bit about rain gear in another episode.
Yeah.
I don't remember how it came up, but, like, yeah, we did take that rain gear. I would not take that rain gear
again. No. The rain gear I bought, supposedly it's decent. I got it from, we're in the Midwest, and we had a chain called Gander Mountain or Gander Outdoors or whatever the hell it was called. It was going out of business, and I bought their brand of rain gear, and it was normally, I think, a $30 or $40 set of rain gear, pants and top and a coat, and I got it for, like, $7. I mean, how could you pass that up, you know?
Good deal, for sure.
Right. So I got that. Did not even pay attention to, is it breathable? Like, I would have I put that on the one day on that Pictured Rocks trail. I just put the coat on. I didn't put the pants on. But I swear I was just as wet underneath that coat as I was on top of that coat, just because it doesn't breathe, so I was sweating even more.
Well, and I got same, but different. I mean, basically the same thing that you got. I got the same thing, but mine was from Cabela's. We had a Cabela's outlet that was going out of sale or going out of business. So again, same situation you were in. I'm like, oh, this is super cheap. Let me buy it. I'm sure it will come in handy. Yep. So I bought it, and it was the coat and the pants. Not breathable. It had quote unquote vents built into it.
Right. Yeah. Mine does too, but no.
Way too thick, way too bulky. It made everything so uncomfortable to move in.
Well,
would not take that again.
The pants that I typically wear, I haven't really gone with just hiking in shorts all that much just because of the tick situation we deal with up here, but the pants that I wear typically say that they're weather resistant or water resistant. So do I really need the pants for one? And my, you know, the weather resistant pants are a hell of a lot more breathable than the rain pants, the neoprene or not neoprene, nylon, whatever the hell it is.
Well, so, and at the end of the day, what we figured out that day was I would have rather have just been wet from the rain.
Right.
Then, like, wet and hot and sticky from the sweat underneath the raincoat and stuff. So, I don't know. Maybe there's different types of rain gear you can get. Maybe there's hiking-specific rain gear that is lighter weight or more breathable.
The research I was doing is, you know, is saying, like, get a waterproof jacket and pants. but look for breathable fabrics because this has to avoid overheating, which is what essentially you and I were doing. We were sweating underneath. We were cooking in our coat, you know? Like,
yeah, right. Making a stew inside your rain gear. But I remember I got bit when we finally did get to camp that day. I think it stopped raining before we got to camp, if I remember correctly. So we just wound up taking everything off anyway.
Right.
But I think I took everything off before it even stopped raining. And I just decided I would rather just be wet from the rain than wet inside this rain gear. Like, it was just, it made the pack difficult to have on because everything was a weird kind of bulky.
Yeah.
I just didn't like it. And well,
the pack, in my opinion, the pack fit different or felt different under when it was over top of the rain jacket.
Right.
Than just over your t-shirt or whatever, too. So,
well, and that kind of leads into one of the things that our backpacks come with is a rain fly. So, like, when you're looking at backpacks, make sure your backpack comes with a rain fly, because then at least all of the stuff in your pack is staying mostly dry, right? Like, I don't think it's 100% dry inside there. I think mine was, to be honest with you. I don't think anything inside my pack got wet.
The only thing that... the only thing on mine that was wet, I think I had a little bit where I didn't necessarily get it all the way underneath.
Right.
So it, like, got in underneath down there a little bit, but that's where I, on the bottom of my pack is where I put, like, our shit shovel and like, all that stuff. It's not anything major that's down there that can't get wet, so.
Well, that's what, mine has the tent hanging off the bottom, so, like, okay, so the tent got wet. It's rolled inside out, so it's the vinyl.
Right.
Whatever the bottom of the tent is made out of.
Yeah.
Not
a big deal. Yeah. So that's another thing is, like, pack your stuff accordingly. So the stuff on the outer edges, if it gets wet, it's not a major deal.
Yeah.
So, and if that stuff is a major deal to get wet, but it's an essential, like a first aid kit or any kind of electronic device, like you're carrying around a GPS and it's not waterproof, have it in a Ziploc baggie if just in case there's rain or some weatherproof bag.
Stole the words right out of my mouth. That was the next thing I was going to talk about is we knew there was a chance of rain on this trip. But even on the ones that we don't know that there's a chance of rain, most of our essential stuff, like any medication, you know, any electronics or things like that that can't get wet. You said the first aid kit. The first aid kit's always in a Ziploc bag. Any essential paperwork. Like, we always get the backcountry permit or the printed map or any of that sort of stuff. Anything that I really don't want getting wet and falling apart, Ziploc bag, right?
Right. Or if you have a laminator, laminate it. Like, I don't know why. My mom bought me a laminator years ago, so I have a laminator.
Because you're a nerd.
Well, there is that. There is that.
I don't
think
most people have a laminator. But, like, we've talked before, even our quote-unquote food bags or bear bags are waterproof, right? Like, all of our food goes into a waterproof bag, too. So, like, anything that you don't want getting wet,
I don't think
it's bad practice to just have it in a Ziploc all the time.
Right. Like, my food bag or bear bag, quote unquote, is essentially just a dry bag. But in my opinion, I could be wrong on this, but my thought process is if it is watertight, it is airtight, therefore the odors and whatnot are not getting out. It might not deter or it may not stop a bear from getting through it, but it's stopping a bear from thinking anything's in it anyway. So that worthwhile.
Right.
But I've thought about the bear canister. It's still in the back of my mind. I might get one. I don't know. It just seems like a lot of bulk and weight for...
That's what I say. I don't know. Well, you know what? Someday we're going to regret not getting a bear canister.
Right. Someday. I mean, well, that's a whole other episode.
The problem is that we've never ran into a problem with the way we do it. So
There will be an episode about that miserable trip.
Yeah, I'm sure. So pack any of your essentials. Pack anything like that in a Ziploc. I mean, we're saying Ziploc,
any
Ziploc
kind of
style,
like,
bag.
What do they call that when it becomes like Google is the name brand, it's the brand name, but it's like it's basically an acronym or a word for search.
I don't know what you call it.
I forget
that.
What
it's
that
like Kleenex
is.
Or Xerox or any of those
things. Or Band-Aid or
But so then the other thing, so I have talked about the rain gear that I don't like, that I don't take anymore.
Mm-hmm.
What I have started taking instead of that is one of those dollar store cheap disposable ponchos.
Yes. They come in their little packages.
Tiny little pack, don't hardly weigh nothing.
Yep. It's probably going to rip when we put it on. Right.
I know. Well, so, yeah, it's probably going to rip. So, in my head, that's more of a, like, you're getting to camp and you're, like, done for the day, but it's still raining and you kind of want to...
You put dry clothes on.
You put dry clothes on and you want to maybe stay a little bit dry. So that's in my head why I pack that. Not so much for like while actually hiking to try to do in conjunction with the backpack in any way, but more of a at the end of the day if it's still raining type thing.
Yeah. Well, for that matter too, with the little extra rain poncho, take extra clothes. Like we just said, if you get to camp and you're drenched, you get camp set up, all that, it's sprinkling still or it's still raining, you can get inside your tent, change, get dry socks on, get dry underwear on, get dry clothes on, and then put those wet clothes out. Maybe if you take a paracord like we do, we make a little makeshift clothesline. So if it does stop raining, it can start drying out, or it's not getting any more wet and it's not wet in your tent type of a deal. And then if you do take a tarp or you have any way of maybe like making sure putting it in a drier place where it's not raining as bad, but take extra clothes. I mean, we've talked like we don't like to pack as many clothes as we used to.
Sure.
But if it is calling for rain, I might pack an extra shirt or an extra pair of pants just in case that other pair doesn't get a chance to dry and it's going to rain the next day and I'm going to end up in the same boat again.
Yeah.
You don't want to be wet or putting wet clothes back on.
Well, and I might disagree with you a little bit on that one. So, take an extra set of clothes, especially if it is for sure calling for rain. Like if you know that you're going to get wet, for sure take an extra pair of dry clothes to change into. Starting, like, if you get to camp, it's been raining all day, you get to camp, you put dry stuff on, you manage to stay dry all night, you're getting back out on the trail tomorrow, and it's wet already or raining already, and you know you're going to be in the rain all day, I might put those wet clothes back on. I mean, not the socks and underwear, probably, because I'm...
Well, whatever. Right. I mean, but socks and underwear, I'm definitely changing, but...
The shirt and pants, like, if I've got dry stuff and I've got this over here that's already wet, I mean, is it going to be awful to put that stuff back on? Yeah, it's going to be. But
I'm going to say this caveat to that.
Okay.
It'll depend on the temperature for me. If it is 50, 60 degrees and you put wet clothes on, that you're going to freeze even more.
Okay.
Like, you are going to be miserable hiking in that wet stuff. If it's 80, 90 degrees outside, sure, give me some air conditioning, please. So, but, you know, it'll depend on the temperature for me on that, like for that kind of thing. Cause cooler temperatures, rain typically comes with cooler temperatures.
Yep.
It doesn't necessarily, I mean, not always. We've had several very muggy days where it just starts pouring and it's miserable hot and wet. But if it's cooling off, a cold front's coming through and that's what's bringing this rain through. There's a chance of hypothermia if you, even if it's 50 degrees, you can get hypothermia.
So. Sure. Well, and here's, and I guess maybe the other caveat to that too is like, how far into the trip are you or how much do you have left to go? Like, is this your last day you're hiking back to your vehicle?
Right. Okay.
Okay. Well, maybe I don't need any more dry clothes because we've talked to keep an extra pair of change of clothes at the vehicle.
At the trip. Yeah, right.
So if I'm just hiking back to, this is my last day, I'm hiking back to the vehicle, well, then what do I care if I'm using my last dry clothes? But like if you only have the one thing of dry clothes left, that's the ones you're on, I think I would try to put those wet ones back on to do the actual hiking in.
Yeah, yeah, and that's a fair point. But like I said, just be mindful of the temperatures.
For sure.
Because if you get hypothermia and you're just sitting out there, we've talked before, one of us is just leaving the other one in the trail. we've been instructed to dig a hole.
Yep, just leave me behind. For sure.
So.
So I mean, like, there's the poncho. There's other things you can get too that you and I, Mike, do not have. But like, you can get waterproof gloves if you want your hands to stay dry. There's waterproof hats of sorts that you can get. Like you said, you wear a hat. You're not wearing a specifically waterproof hat. You're just wearing a baseball cap to keep the rain
right
out of your face. They do make rain hats or waterproof hats that you could get. One thing that they do make that I think is a good idea, I do not personally have, I guess maybe Mike, you give me your thoughts on it. I think they're called a boot gaiter. It's like the thing that you put over your boot. That's called a gaiter, right?
Yeah, that's what my research, I didn't know what it was, because, you know, during the pandemic, we all had neck gaiters, and that was like an extra face mask. So I was like, I don't know what this is. It makes sense that it just covers your boot. Like, I did look it up. Yeah, so I don't have one. It's an interesting thing. I might get them. I'll have to look and see how bulky they are, because we're not going to need them every trip. But
my understanding is the thought behind them. Like, you and I have rainproof hiking or waterproof hiking boots. So I'm not sure if we need them since our boots are already theoretically waterproof.
Well,
but it does make like a little hat or like jacket for your boot, which I think would prevent water from going in the top of your boot, like where your laces and stuff are at.
Right.
So I think that's the thought, is to keep the water off like your boot.
If the pants you're wearing, or if you're wearing shorts, per se, there's no protection. If your pants aren't waterproof, I think that's what I said. That's what I meant to say anyway. So if your pants aren't waterproof and the water starts seeping through your pants and running down your leg, then your waterproof boot isn't waterproof from your sock down. Like, you know, like it can still get in through the top.
Right. Yes.
So that's what they're for, is it basically, think of it like roofing, where you start at the bottom and work your way up. So your top layer is always running over a bottom layer to get the moisture, the water to run completely off rather than damage the roof. That's just me being a DIYer at the house. So if you don't know roofing, look that up. But it's just a different way to wick the moisture or keep the moisture away from getting inside your boot.
Yeah. Which brings me to my next point, which this part is like a fairly serious part. Pay attention to your feet in the rain. Like, pay attention to your feet all the time that you're out on the trail. Pay attention to your feet when it's raining, for sure.
Yep.
Because you want to cut a trip short real quick, get some wicked blisters and stuff, some like trench rot in your boot.
I'll dig a hole if you get blisters and can't finish. I'll just tell it. It's my word against you. Yours, and yours is in the woods buried. So,
right. But no, I mean, you want to talk about, we mentioned the word miserable earlier. You want to talk about miserable, though. Get your feet screwed up.
We both had blisters on the trail.
Yeah.
And we both were able to finish. They weren't bad enough we couldn't finish, but it definitely slowed us down.
Yeah.
And it made things a hell of a lot worse. And it wasn't even raining.
Right.
So,
wet feet plus socks plus hiking makes for not a good time. So, just pay attention.
Keep your feet dry.
Figure out some way to keep your feet as dry as possible. Pay attention if your feet start hurting. Pay attention to that. Like, check on them, you know? Yep. If you got to stop for a little bit and, you know, take care of your feet, get some medicated powder on them, get some dry change of socks put on, whatever that looks like for you. Feet are a big part of hiking.
Absolutely.
Keep them happy. Keep them dry, keep them happy.
They're one of the main parts of hiking, I would say, but and that, like, that's the reason why you and I take boots and waterproof boots, is you may think you have your trip planned out as best you can. There may be a creek or something that you've got to cross where there's really no way to do it other than to get your feet in the water.
Yeah.
And the boots come in handy because it provides more ankle support. We're on, you know, rocks and roots and all that stuff. It's easy to roll an ankle. That's the reason why I take the boots anyway, is for that. But also, it provides extra water, like an extra couple inches of waterproof, so you can get your feet even deeper.
Yep.
I did the dumb thing because we had never had to test our waterproofness of our boots when we were, I think it was at Pictured Rocks, and we had never really tested how waterproof our boots were. You went to get into Lake Superior, and I just went down there to fill our water bag.
Yeah.
And I was like, I'm just going to put my feet right in Lake Superior and dip the thing. And it cooled my foot off, but my foot stayed dry. Because, I mean, that water's cold.
Yeah,
but
in hindsight, I'm not sure that was the right spot to test that.
No, it wasn't. That's why I said I did the dumb thing. I tested it.
We were literally pretty much exactly halfway.
Yep.
So,
there were really other people.
No, yeah.
There were other. I could have been like, can I get a ride to my next site, please?
Yeah.
No, it was not the right place. Do your testing of your gear at home or at a local or a short trip.
But to piggyback onto that, like you talked, so rainproof or waterproof foot gear, and you talk about like crossing rivers and stuff. That's one thing I think we should mention too, though. Like in the rain, water crossings are going to be, I mean, hiking in general is going to be harder in the rain because everything is going to get slippery, right? Mm-hmm. Which everything's slippery to begin with, kind of, sort of. Now you add water on top of it, everything's extra slippery, then you got mud and stuff. But then any water crossings that maybe on a dry day are just cute little streams or whatever, if you got rain that's been raining all day, those water crossings are going to be more treacherous. I'm not going to say dangerous, but you for sure got to pay attention crossing the water more than on a dry day.
Yeah, the more rain that or more water that's getting into those streams as it sheds off of the land and everything, the faster that water is going to be moving. So
faster that it's going to be moving, God knows what that water has pushed around, right?
Well, like, yeah.
Depending on how hard it's been raining, theoretically, it could have displaced logs or rocks or debris and made it, you know, now you got water that's moving faster than it normally is.
It's deeper
so maybe
than
it's
it
harder to
is.
See through. It's deeper than it normally is. You can't maybe see what's in there. So just when you get to those water crossings, for sure pay a lot more attention than you. Always pay attention for sure.
Yeah.
But like,
well,
it could get pretty hairy.
When you talk about that too, like especially the rocks along the shore tend to have a little bit of like algae or moss on them that, when it's dry, it's not necessarily that big of a deal. But as soon as that stuff gets wet, that rock becomes 10 times slipperier than it was just in regular conditions. So
not even just the rocks too, but like, you know, we've come across the man-made wooden bridges, right? Where people that maintain the trails have been kind enough to build a bridge or a walkway across whatever. Let's face it, that stuff is slippery to begin with, too. It's been sitting out in the woods growing that moss or growing that algae on it. Then add some rain on top of that. That stuff's super slippery, too.
Mm-hmm. I think that's what those signs were meant for when it says bridge may become slippery when wet or whatever. Like, you see them on the freeway.
Yeah.
But I think that they were supposed to go in the woods.
not sure that's true. Same concept, though. You know, they should have... Not that people read signs, let's be honest, but just pay attention. That stuff is going to get slippery.
Yeah.
There's no sign out there warning you that it might be slippery.
Right.
And a lot of it doesn't have handrails or anything. You know, a lot of it's just like planks across whatever. So
right. Yeah.
It's going to be slippery. There's not going to be anything to grab onto. Pay attention to what you're doing.
Yeah. So, not to bring this up on because it seems to pop up every episode. But one thing that I did say...
I know what you're going to say.
The research I did say that in wet conditions, trekking poles can provide stability and help you in those slippery conditions. So there is that. There may be a use for them yet.
I'm not going to disagree with that. I bet that they would... You know, because the ones that we have like the pointy.
Yep. They've got several different tips that you can put on them for snow, for the trails, whatever.
I do think they probably would be nice if the hill is getting muddy and it's a little bit slippery and you need a little extra grip. I bet they would be nice.
Yep.
Is it worth carrying them all the time for that?
For just in case? Maybe you carry them. That might be when we take them, if it's calling for rain multiple days.
Okay.
That might be worth taking them then. I don't know that I will if it's just, like, going to rain. Well, it depends on where we're going. If we're going back into a steeper part of the Porcupines or, you know, the Appalachians or wherever, I might take them just because it could get very difficult. I had a buddy that just did the Grand Canyon with his wife, and he did – I don't believe he was using trekking poles, but his wife was, and she said they came in very handy on the way down. Like, going up is, in my opinion, everybody's like, oh, downhill is so much easier, blah, blah, blah. It's a different difficult. It's just a different difficulty.
See, and I think for me, going down is harder. Like, just with the way my knees work, I think going down is harder.
So she was using the trekking poles as stability going down to make it easier on her hips and her knees. So,
okay.
If that's what you need, there is a place that there's a reason they are sold. There's a reason people use them.
Yeah.
It's not necessarily our thing.
I have said from the very beginning, especially anybody that has maybe some stability issues or some, you know, health issues, for sure. I can see why hiking poles would be good for somebody in that, you know, with some sort of issue that it would help them. As a mostly healthy, I guess middle-aged adult is the right word to say.
Oh, yeah.
I don't feel the need for them all the time. Yes, if it were calling for rain every single day, could I foresee taking them just in case?
I mean, if it's not raining and I'm doing just fine, I'll have them strapped to my pack. I'm not going to be carrying them and holding onto them. If it comes a little slippery, things like that, and I'm starting like, oh. I mean, at that point, I'll probably forget that I even have them. So, I don't know. We'll cross that bridge when we get to it, right?
If you have opinions, I guess.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
But the other thing that this leads me into is our every single episode, Leave No Trace portion of the episode.
Yeah.
This is our bi-weekly reminder. You are supposed to walk through the mud. Do not widen the trail to stay out of the mud.
Another reason to wear waterproof boots.
Another reason to wear waterproof boots. I won't harp on it too much. Just remember, don't widen the trail. You're supposed to walk through the mud.
Yep. And the reason why it's muddy is because human traffic has caused it to be a low point in the woods. So the water will start gathering there.
Yep.
So,
I mean, it could be a natural low point, but
it could be a natural low point, but we didn't necessarily help that. So we've already made an impact on nature. Let's keep that impact to a minimum.
Yeah.
So,
and then I guess the other thing, I mean, I don't know if I keep jumping in front of you or not, because I feel like I keep saying the things, but the other thing that is a good thing to plan ahead for, especially if you know that it is going to be rain, what are you doing for food? Because
actually where I was going to go next. So you're right on the same page.
So, you know, because we've talked about, we always take the little camp stove thing to heat up our water to do the boiled meals.
Mm-hmm.
If it is actually downpouring, right? Like a little bit of sprinkle. Okay, fine. Everything would probably still work just fine. You could figure it out. What are you doing if it's downpouring? Do you have a backup for a meal plan?
Right. That's where our, you know, your 10 gallons of trail mix and come into play.
10 gallons of trail mix, my power bar. But also, this is where the tarp might come in handy.
That, absolutely. Or finding, I mean, that's where you pay attention to your surroundings and find the spot where the rain isn't as heavy.
Sure.
Like, you've got a decent tree canopy that's keeping the water from coming down. Find your natural canopy, you know?
Yeah, that's a good point. Yeah.
Obviously a lot of hiking is looking at your feet in the ground to avoid rocks and roots and things like that. You do have to look up from time to time.
Yeah. But yeah, no, I mean, at great point. Natural canopies. We kind of did this without even, I'm sure we thought about it, but we didn't really verbalize that we were thinking about it. The one time when we were in The Porkies.
That was the Porkies. Really our very first trip.
We were in the Porkies, and it rained.
We dealt with rain two nights.
Yeah. So we found there were some decent sized. I'm gonna call them pine trees. Were they pine trees?
I don't know my trees. I believe they were cedar.
Okay, sure. I'll take your word for it because I don't really know. It was a tree that gave, like, it was raining, but underneath this tree was visibly dry. So we set up tents. We both picked a different tree, set up tents underneath these trees to stay out of the rain as much as you could. It was in, like, a natural high spot in the campsite. Right.
Well, that was the other part that of us picking those spots is we looked to where, like, the ground was a little bit drier than where it was on the rest of the site.
Yeah.
And then you just happen to look up and you're like, well, that makes sense. There's a natural canopy, like a tree canopy there. So, like, that to me was hit or miss. You went right for this one spot, and I was like, well, there's a giant branch right ahead above his tent.
Well, if I know, but it wasn't shit storming.
It was true. Fair enough.
It was raining, but it was not storming. So I didn't feel...
In the back of my mind, though, the night before is the night that I heard a lightning strike and a tree fall.
Yeah.
So that's where my mind was at.
I mean, so, valid point. I don't know. Maybe somebody will write in and tell us that we were idiots for doing that.
I don't necessarily think so, because you kind of got to weigh the odds. Would you rather be in a low spot where you're getting flooded?
Right.
Or would you rather have the high ground and a dry spot with a small percentage of chance that that limb's going to drop?
Right. I opted for the high spot. The high and dry.
I did too. Ultimately, I mean, that was a good. That site was, I don't even know if I was still technically on our site, but it had evidence that tents had been set up there before, mm-hmm. so I wasn't doing more harm than what we've already done, and found another high spot with tree, and we both fared very well. I was really impressed with us because that was our very first trip. That was only our second night.
Yeah.
And we both stayed dry. Like,
I was pretty proud of us. I thought we did pretty good.
Our discount tent stayed dry. Our lack of knowledge worked. Like, everything just worked out. I was very proud of us, so.
Yeah. But back to the food thing, which is kind of where we started with.
Yeah, sorry.
So, maybe have a plan. Like, even if it's just as simple as, like, we have been talking about. Like, okay, you've got a tarp. You're going to set the tarp up and cook underneath the tarp. Okay, that's your plan, right? But, like, think about that. What is your backup if you have something where you can't make that quote-unquote backpacking meal? You know, and maybe you're the type of person, maybe you're just taking peanut butter and jelly sandwiches for the whole weekend, so you don't have to cook. So then it's not an issue. You're not trying to, you know, cook out in the rain. But if you do need to heat up water or cook or whatever that looks like for the food that you're taking, think about that, especially if it's calling for rain. You know, if it's not calling for rain, it's mostly going to be nice. And worst case scenario, you skip one meal because it was raining and you couldn't, figure out how to make that work.
Most people are taking some sort of a snack of like we take the trail mix or a protein bar here, there, whatever.
Right. Are you taking some peanuts? Are you taking a beef jerky? Are you taking, something?
If it's raining at night and I eat the protein bar I was planning on eating in the morning, and then the morning it's not raining, okay, I'll have my mac and cheese in the morning. Whatever.
Yeah. Right. And you're probably not going to die if you miss one meal, right? I mean,
right. I think the human body can go.
You might be miserable. You're probably miserable because you're what anyway?
Is it 3 days without water, 21 days without food? Well, something like that. Yeah. I think that's survival guide 101 or something. I'm pretty sure like it's 3 days without water.
Yeah, I know you need water.
Yeah, but I'm pretty sure, like, and I mean, 21 days is, like, the average. It's different for everybody.
Sure.
But
I'm just saying, you could skip a meal, right? If you had to skip a meal, you'll probably be okay. You'll be hungry.
Yeah, I could probably skip a few meals.
I could probably skip a couple and it wouldn't kill me, so, you know.
So,
but we're thinking about before you go.
On that note, too, I mean, not just the food, but a lot of times people think, it's raining out, I'm wet, but I'm not sweating, so I'm hydrated. Nope, That's not the case. You still need water intake. You are still sweating.
Yeah.
So you definitely still need to get your water intake. You need to stay hydrated that way. Like I said, it's a lot lower percent of days that you can go without water than it is for food. Yeah. You need water. So just because you're wet doesn't mean you're absorbing that water. So,
yeah.
So yeah, that's that. One other thing that I had was kind of the same thing I mentioned with in a previous episode. I think it was like when we were talking about going uphill. I like to take smaller steps. It just burns you out easier when it's raining. When the conditions are not perfect on the trail, take some smaller steps. Pace yourself.
Yeah.
Definitely pay attention to the roots. Everything's going to be slippery out there, so just be a lot more mindful and take your time. I believe I was just talking with my buddy that was just in the Grand Canyon. It's not a race. I don't need to get there now. I just need to get there. So,
excellent point. You and I are both guilty of that. Like you and I have a pace, right? Like this is how fast we go, and like to the point where going back to the gadgets that we take, the watches, it tells us every mile, like, okay, you've hit a mile. Okay, you've hit a mile. Okay, you and I look, okay, how fast did we do that? Oh, yep, we're right on pace. We got somewhere to be. As though there's an appointment we have to get to at the other end.
Right. We'll be looking. I'll be like, oh, man, we slowed down on that. That mile took us 30 seconds
longer.
Or whatever. Like, we got to pick this pace back up, you know? I'm like, no, we don't. We don't.
Right. Right. Take your time. It's not a race. I mean, unless you're racing.
Well, yeah, I guess unless
you're racing. Just out for fun, it's not a race. If it takes you all day to get there, it takes you all day to get there. Like, it ain't that big of a deal. Slow down. Pay attention. Don't hurt yourself. You'll be fine.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that is all I have.
The only other one point that I wanted to make, we kind of glossed over it. We mentioned it at the beginning. Okay. We kind of glossed over it. It can be miserable.
Oh, yeah.
Hiking in the rain. That's okay. Even miserable hiking in the rain is probably a better day than a good day at the office. Right? Like, I mean, that's...
Yes.
I would rather be out in nature, and there are some, what's the phrase? Enjoy the suck or whatever. You know, like
embrace the suck.
There you go. It's going to suck. Try to find a way to enjoy it. Like you're still out in nature. You're still out hiking. You're still away from society. You're still out in everything that is gorgeous and wonderful about being out there hiking. Yeah, you're wet. Yeah, you're a little bit cold. But you're going to hear different things that you wouldn't hear when it's a nice sunny day. You're going to see things that you wouldn't see. Like this, what might be a dry creek bed on a nice sunny day might now be a super cool stream full of rushing water that most people never get to see. There's things to enjoy even in the rain. Having said that, especially if you are not by yourself, pay attention to like the mood of the other people you're around. Like everybody can get grumpy when they're miserable. Give everybody a little bit of grace, you know, a little extra wiggle room to be grumpy or whatever. And notice that about yourself. Are you being grumpy just because it's wet and rainy and you don't need to be? Like, just, you know, give everybody a little bit extra space maybe in the rain that you wouldn't normally.
Yeah.
Cause people hate hiking in the rain. People hate being wet.
Yeah, absolutely. Keep that communication line open with your partner if you're not hiking alone. If you are hiking alone, if you have a satellite communicator or a phone with signal, make sure people know that you're okay. Make sure people know what your expected locations are, just to make sure that they know when you're expected to return.
Yeah.
At least it returned to civilization enough to where you have cell signal to say, oh, yep, made it back to the truck. We're good. Make sure you keep that communication line open. So if you don't check in at your expected times, then that's when they start to worry. They don't start to worry ahead of time or when they don't need to. The one thing I was going to say is if the weather does turn severe, if you end up in a hailstorm, tornado, anything that's like more severe than what you're comfortable with, pay attention to your surroundings. If there's any kind of like a rock cove or any mm-hmm. kind of the natural dense tree canopy, anything like that, seek shelter where shelter is at. It's not everywhere in the backcountry, but find where you can. That's going to keep you safer than just being out there. Don't go check out if, you know, you're on a ridge or on any kind of like a cliff or whatever. Don't go peek over when it's raining and windy. Like that could be a life endangering thing. Avoid open fields. If it starts thundering, lightning, things like that, avoid open fields. Stay within the tree canopy. They will take the hit way quicker than you will.
Yeah.
If you're setting up camp in the rain, just like we did that one time, avoid the low-lying areas. That's pretty much all I've got as far as my final notes.
I didn't have this in my notes, but something that you said made me think of it, so I want to mention it while I'm thinking about it. If you are hiking in the rain and your trail happens to cross a roadway, keep in mind that visibility is reduced for drivers as well.
Absolutely.
And they are not always looking for you to be crossing the road. So I know everybody looks both ways and is careful crossing the road to begin with, but just remember, visibility is reduced for drivers in that situation too.
Right.
Maybe stay an extra few steps back off the road than you normally would while waiting to cross, just in case they go off on the shoulder or anything, or just be a little extra cautious when doing road crossings if your trail crosses the road. And it's
absolutely. Yeah, I did that. That's a very valid point. I was just thinking, it's like our episodes have kind of been bummers lately. Like we're helping people be safer, like maybe making people be worried about being out on the trail. Like
I don't want people to be worried. Like,
and it's a small percentage of the time that you're out there that it's going to be rain, especially if you plan accordingly, or you. If it's going to be miserable and rainy the entire time, then you might think, maybe I'll just go next weekend or whatever.
Yeah.
So go out in the woods, have fun. Like it's not all miserable. We're just helping you plan to embrace the suck if you have to embrace it, you know?
Well, and here's the other thing. If you go hiking for a full weekend and it's in the rain, it might be miserable for those 2 days or 3 days or whatever. You might be miserable. You're going to have a great story. That story is going to be the gift that keeps on giving.
Well,
like, and there's such a time that we went hiking and it was miserable for 3 days and blah, blah, blah. Like, it's going to be, that is going to be a fun story to have.
Right.
So,
well, and it is a very small community of people that actually go out and hike. There's not a lot of people that actually go out and do it. It's an even smaller percentage that go out in the backcountry and do it. So it doesn't really matter what trail you're on, whether you're on the North Country Trail, whether you're in the Appalachian Trail, or you're just on a trail in the county you live in, a very small percentage of people see what you get to see.
Yeah.
So that is very cool.
Oh, it's super cool. Yeah, I mean, that's one of the reasons you and I keep going back, right? I mean,
yep, absolutely.
It's hiking is great. I mean, it just is. I absolutely love doing it. I love seeing things that I know the majority of the people on this planet are never going to see.
Yeah.
We always come out with a good story at the end of it. We always come out with cool pictures. Even quote unquote boring spots of the trail. Gorgeous, usually.
Oh yeah.
You know, like things that people will never see, and you tell people about it, it's like, well, where is that? It's like, well, you go to this parking lot and you gotta hike in 12 miles and then it's here. People aren't gonna do that.
Like, they're not gonna do that.
So I don't know. I mean, I don't know if it's bragging rights or what it is, but like you are going to see things that most of the rest of the population of the world is never going to see.
So not to drag this on longer than it's already been, but the one thing that this was before you and I even did pictured or Porcupine Mountains was we went up to Munising on a glamping trip and we ended up doing the Pictured Rocks boat cruise, the sunset cruise, you know, you get to go see the Pictured Rocks from the water. And that was really cool. And we saw backpackers hiking along the trail and everything. And I was thinking, I was like, man, I really wonder what this looks like from that vantage point.
Yeah.
You know? And I never thought I'd get to do that because I was just like, well, nobody I'm with like really wants to do that. And I didn't know what it would take to do that. So right. This was before you and I had even started our research for it. But I was like, man, that like those people probably have a whole completely different perspective and view and everything of this whole area. And it turns out you do. And it's a lot more gorgeous up close. So yeah. So you do get to see all of that. So if you see something like that from afar and you want to get up close, there's a way to do it. Just do your research and make it happen.
Yeah, for sure. So that's all that I have. Did you have anything else that you wanted to mention before we wrap up?
No, other than I'm super proud we were nominated to the number two outdoor podcast for FeedSpot.
I was just going to say the same thing. Yes. So FeedSpot has named Sean and Mike Take a Hike. They have named us the number two out of the top 10 best outdoor gear podcasts for 2024. So we are super thrilled and grateful to FeedSpot for naming us in the top two. Well, top 10, but
top 10, but we're, yeah.
I mean, number two. So, yeah, I mean, that's pretty cool. So, thank you for FeedSpot for that recognition. We super appreciate it. Hope all of you that are listening are enjoying this. We say every episode, but I'm going to say it again. If there is anything, any episode that you like about this podcast or anything specifically that has helped you and you think it would help a friend, please share that with somebody. That does help spread the word about the podcast.
Absolutely.
We enjoy talking to all of you about our experience and the different things that we do. We're super, super grateful to have been recognized by FeedSpot that apparently it is helping others. So thank you for that recognition.
Yeah. And, as always, rate, review, subscribe, smash that subscribe button. it definitely helps us out, gets our name out there. And, like Sean said, share it with a friend. We're happy to do this. We enjoy it and we hope it brings everybody else enjoyment too.
And if you want to comment about anything we have said, like, dislike, disagree, have a counterpoint about anything that we've said on this podcast, you can reach us by email at seanmikehike@gmail.com, or we're on all the major socials at seanmikehike. I guess that's all I've got. Until next time, go take a hike.
Go take a hike. We'll see you in a couple of weeks.
Thanks, guys.